Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account for 6 months, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code Android9.
All About Android, episode 27, recorded on Monday, September 26, 2011. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Owl.
And I'm Ron Richards. We're very news-like.
I know. It's very news.
And let's dig in.
Coming up at 11. All the Android news. Yes, this just in. And weather with. Anyways.
I would totally do the weather.
Would you do the weather?
Screen, I would do the Android weather.
We'd be doing away with the green screen and replacing it with something else. We need the green screen. It's like the character of the show right there.
When I have a collared shirt on, everything changes. We get much more professional.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, stop wearing those collared shirts, man. All right. Well, this week we're going to be discussing Fire. Well, you know what? We'll get to that in a minute. We're going to talk to you about transitioning to Google Voice. We're going to talk about the HTC Lady phone. And in the arena, it's all about note-taking apps. And apologies, we were going to have the CEO of Catch here, but he had to cancel. But we're still talking about that app. And
I'm
going to
hopefully
others.
Fill in his shoes and do his app as much justice as he would.
I was like, quick, Jason, here's Catch.
I know.
Catch.
Make it happen.
Make it happen. All right, well, we got a lot of things going on this episode. Let's fire up the news. Actually, we only have one big news to talk about, which will be eclipsed in 2 days. There's a lot going on in the Android world. Most of it is in the hardware section. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I do want to tell you about the big press conference that Amazon's going to be holding on September 28th. We all think it's going to be a tablet. And we've heard this from MG Siegler and TechCrunch a while back that, yes, it is going to be a tablet. I'm pretty sure that's what they're going to announce. It's 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern time. And Tom Merritt and Leo Laporte will be live commenting on that announcement that morning. So we'll be covering it here on TWiT. Now, what we've learned a little few more things, that it's going to be called the Kindle Fire, that it won't ship until the second week of November. It's going to have a dual core OMAP chip, the same chip that the Playbook uses, and it might even look like the Playbook. Now, Ryan Block has said in his gadget blog that, quote, although Amazon did refresh the idea of their Playbook derivative, I'm told that this first tablet of theirs is supposed to be pretty poor and is a stopgap in order to get a tablet out the door for the 2011 holiday season, which kind of makes me a little worried, because that was the thing I had in the back of my mind. Are they going to pull out the stops and make this a real iPad competitor? Or are they just going to, you know, just put something out there to have something out there? That kind of sounds like what that is, right? I don't know.
Possibly. I mean, we won't know until we see it.
Yeah.
But I'm just dancing that I totally was right that they were going to stick with the Kindle brand.
Oh.
I called that one. I knew it.
Yeah.
Although the big change that I saw here was that they're not actually going to just call it the Kindle, which was also the news that was out there that sounded so completely ridiculous to me, that they would just call it the Kindle and there would be no confusion whatsoever.
No, I knew there would be some sort of designator.
Fire. I don't mind fire.
I like fire.
It's like badass. I'll be honest, it's pretty cool. But if in order to get it live and out the door for the holiday season, the UI is a little neutered and it's not exactly what we think it's going to be, that will be a bit of a disappointment. But
that's what I'm worried about. Okay. And I mean, I am a early adopter, and I've been waiting for this tablet for a long time, so I'm pretty sure I'm going to get one.
So but you want the Amazon tablet because you are all in on the Amazon kind of ecosystem?
I have been buying video. I want to use it. I use my tablets as an entertainment device, so I want to be able to watch all the videos that I download on Amazon. I'm hoping that I'll be able to.
Did you see that they just added Fox to
streaming?
Which has a whole bunch more content.
So, and then there's all these rumors, are Amazon and Netflix going to partner and all this stuff out there? I have no idea what's going on. But, I use it as an entertainment device. So that's what I'm betting and banking on. And I read Kindle books. So this seems to me like it would be perfect for me. But I do want it to be better than what it's sounding that it's going to be?
I think it's really interesting because I think that Amazon, it's almost as if Amazon's taking the angle to be less competitive with the iPad and more competitive with the Nook. Because if you look at these pseudo mock-ups that TechCrunch posted, which were mock-ups based on what they saw,
really?
These aren't real mock-ups.
Right.
It's got much more of a the rectangular what's not landscape portrait kind of mode and then it's a browsing kind of capability. I looked at that and I'm like, oh, that looks like the Nook. So I mean, I wonder if Amazon's not even going to try to play Apple's game and they're like, listen, we know what we do really well. We do books, we're doing media, we're going to focus on those. Yes, we're going to offer you Angry Birds, we're going to, you can run Android apps if you want, stuff like that. But in terms of being an iPad competitor, it might be pretty smart not to go that route because you can't compete with that.
Well, and there's reports that the Nook Color 2 is going to become coming out next month, so that's who they're, that's their main competitors, Barnes & Noble. So, and the Nook has been sort of like the dark horse in all of this, right?
And I'll be honest, I mean, I get to work with the Nook a lot because of my day job. We work for Graphically and we're publishing graphic novels on the Nook. It's doing surprisingly well. But not surprisingly, like, because it's a bad product, because like I didn't realize how many people are buying these things. And so some of the
It is the thing that's keeping Barnes & Noble afloat.
Exactly. Like if you look at some of the sales numbers and you look at, like I've got access to some of the developer stuff and stuff like the behind-the-scenes stuff, it's really impressive. And it's actually one that really shouldn't be underestimated, I think.
So the Nook Color 2 is probably going to kick some ass too. And I mean, if they keep it under $300, around that $250 price point is sort of the key, right?
Yeah,
so I mean, if Amazon goes $300, you know, that's not so good, I think.
Yeah.
Keep it under $300 and give me a little bit of bells and whistles. I know there's no camera. I know there, you know, maybe the processing speed might not be as good. But as long as I can watch my videos and listen to my music and read my books, then I think I'll be okay.
And if you use the Amazon Cloud Music Player, like you said, music, I know a friend of mine is chose that over Google Music and swears by it. And so you get a device that runs that pretty good. But I got to admit, the term stopgap does make me worry.
They start throwing that out there and you have to second guess it.
Well, and then there are reports that the 10, like if this does well, then they'll do the 10.1 inch that'll come out later at the beginning of next year. I'm like, well, that's probably the one that I really want.
That's
because
probably.
That's the, I mean, I like watching, you know, videos on the Galaxy Tab, on the iPad, the bigger screen. Especially since I use it as more of an entertainment device. So might be a little like, buyer's remorse. But
the whole question is going to be, what audience are they going after? Are they going after the Amazon book reading? And, hey, you could read your Amazon, your Kindle books on here, and you can watch video, and you can listen to music, and you can play Angry Birds.
Yeah.
Or are they going to go after the uber techie, like, hey, it's a tablet? I think the 10 to 10 inch one, eventually, you know what's going to come out. You know this is going to be, you know, they're going to justify it in sales. And that's when, that's probably more the device that's up your alley because that's the kind of user you are.
This is probably has the Barnes & Noble Nook. Like, they're happy that they got that out a year before Amazon did. Because once the Amazon tablet rolls out and all of the hooks that it has with their ecosystem, that Barnes & Noble Nook doesn't quite have all that support and all that going on. And if it's a similar price point, they got be scared.
It's going to be really interesting because I know Barnes & Noble does all this, and I'm speaking from experience, so I apologize, but my bias, but like I know we did a graphic novel app for Cowboys and Aliens to go with the movie that came out, and we put in location specific content that unlocked when you're at Barnes & Noble. And that was we worked with Barnes & Noble in doing that. And so Barnes & Noble is doing stuff like that to draw people into the store, use the devices in the store. That's a different ball game than what Amazon's doing, even though Amazon does have much more content and much more media that you can download. But it's that visceral, I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to bring my Nook and I'm going to buy books. It's like, it's kind of weird. It's like, I'm going to go to the store to buy books on the Nook when I could do it from home. But they're giving you a reason to go into the storefronts and buy a cup of coffee and all that sort of stuff. So it's an interesting business kind of, I think in a year or two, it's going to be fascinating to look back at these kind of bookstore, you know, tablet wars.
So are you guys going to work with Amazon, or you want to work with Amazon?
I probably shouldn't say anything.
Okay. I knew it. Darn. Yeah. Tried to get that
probably
one.
An appropriate cricket moment.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll just say that we want our applications to be available on every tablet and every device that's out there, and so we're very excited about what Amazon has planned. Am I good or what?
I know. And I have to ask the question,
You forgot to do this at the end of it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this rolls into an email that is somewhat related here. This is from Philip, who says, in the hope that it might cause Amazon, which I otherwise love, to stop doing what whatever it is doing to PO developers and indirectly doing a disservice to his customers, I would hope that you would have a discussion about many apps not having been updated in the Amazon App Store, even though several updated versions have been uploaded to the Android market in the intervening months. This seems to be particularly true of apps which had been Amazon's free app the day at some point. He goes on to say he's written to them and that he got a response and he got an update after he wrote to Amazon particularly, and then says, because of the situation, I consider the free apps to be nothing more than a light version of an app, albeit ad-free, and paid apps to be a potential ripoff. If I need an upgrade of any such app or need the full version of any new app, I'll be going to the Android market unless Amazon fixes this problem. And we've kind of talked about this before. I mean, I mentioned GetJar a couple weeks ago where the app that I like, Paper Camera, was not updated, but there was a clear update available. And, well, you know, and I basically said, just go buy it at the Android marketplace because you'll get all the updates immediately. So, you know, and we know that Amazon was having this issue, but I think it's the developers, right? They
We interviewed, Shifty Jelly. Yes, yeah. In that interview, that's where it came up, where said the updating process, you've got to update on the Android marketplace. You've got to update on the Amazon market. Mm-hmm. You've got to get jar. It's not centralized yet. And so, again, it's as tough. Someone who works in development, you've got to focus on where you're selling apps. Yes. And if they're not seeing critical mass on the Amazon marketplace, there's no motivation to keep the apps updated.
It's
a vicious cycle.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So absolutely. I would hope that would change with this new tablet that we think is coming out. They're going to need to, if they want their, and they have the app ecosystem, they have the store, if they want that to survive, they're going to need to get those updated and give developers, I don't know, more incentive to update their apps more frequently, right?
Yeah. I mean, do you think this is just kind of a casualty of the marketplace that is kind of manicured and all that, like that it just kind of requires more for the developer, from a developer, or do you think entirely on the developer's shoulder?
I think it's purely it's a resource issue, and I think it's the decentralization aspect. I mean, like, it's almost like I think about, like, because, you know, back, you know, video, when I worked at Revision 3 and we did a lot of stuff with video distribution, and, you know, there are companies like TubeMogul and Blip TV that, you know, you upload your video once and then it syndicates it out to YouTube and to Vimeo and to all these kind of things. It's almost like I'm going to give away a very good idea if you're a developer. Someone needs to make that for Android apps.
Yes.
Yeah, no
where you cut a new – damn it. Why am I talking about this? But
Ron wants to make it right now. He's leaving the show.
I'm using my note-taking app to take notes right now. Ron, keep talking.
I was just having drinks the other night and talking about, like, yeah, I don't have any good ideas for apps, and I really want to develop something, and I just gave you all in the audience a great idea. But no, I don't have the wherewithal to do this idea. But where you create an APK, and then it distributes it out to Amazon, to Android, and you update the metadata once, and it could all go out there.
Yeah.
Someone's got to be doing this.
And they handle all the kind of the agreements that you have to sign up for.
I'm not an app developer. I couldn't have been the first person to think of this. Someone's got to be doing it. But
someone's got to be working on that.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like it should be covered.
Wow. So I hope that answers your question, Philip, but that's basically what's happening. I mean, it takes a lot to update an app and then to roll it out on every store. You know, it's just a tough thing. So, at this point right now, I always just say get it at the Android marketplace.
That's the best. I mean, that's the safest place. Yeah. I mean, in terms of safe, but guaranteed. That's where the majority of the commerce is happening on the Android platform. So people are motivated to do it there. So.
You have to be there.
Yeah.
You almost have to be there if you have to choose one.
Yeah,
for sure. All right, cool. Well, we might as well transition into kind of a little discussion around here, because I've certainly gotten a lot of kind of questions from fans of the show, people who are always asking about Google Voice.
Dude, you read my mind with this, by the way. Like, it was freaky. It's like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we had a conversation on Friday about Google Voice, and I said, well, you know, Jason's actually going to try and transition. And then you said, we should talk about it on the show. And I said, And then we saw your post on G+ over the weekend.
And I had done a similar post. Because for me personally, it started off last week looking at SMS to text. Mm-hmm. And I started looking at my SMS and I was complaining about how much texting I've been doing. And I think I posted on G+. I'm like, oh, my fingers hurt. I'm tired from texting. I wish I could just go and manage all my do text from my desktop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I know I can do Google Voice, but I don't know if I want to switch. And then I saw so why don't you tell everybody what your post was?
Okay, so I guess first of all, let's start off with what Google Voice is, because I think there's a lot of kind of misunderstandings about the service. I know I was completely in the fog when I started really buckling down to try and figure it out. So essentially what it attempts to do is you can get a free phone number through Google. And actually, Chad, if you want to take my screen real quick, I'll show you what you can do. It's actually pretty nifty. when you're signing up for the service, you can type in a word or a phrase or whatever. So I could put Android or Android because I misspelt it. But it'll give you their, they have a certain amount of numbers that are kind of reserved. So if you wanted to misspell Android and have that be your number, you'd do Android. But I kind of figure there probably wouldn't be anything with Android. I would imagine that would be the first like text spelt out phone number to be taken. But I don't know. There's, okay, see, so hello is, you know, there's a ton of numbers that you get with hello. So if you wanted to, you could go to Google Voice under your Google account. You could sign up for Google Voice. It's free. You could try, you know, a number of variations on your username, your own name, whatever you want to do, really, to make the number easy.
Now, you could also, in my investigation, I found out they now support porting your number.
Yes.
So you can port your number. It does cost it does cost $20.
Yes.
And it requires some behind the scenes kind of stuff with your carrier and stuff like that. But we'll get into that a little later.
Yeah, yeah. We'll definitely get to that because this has been part entirely of my kind of deciding to do this. So what are the benefits of Google Voice? It allows you to kind of route calls and SMS, and that's text messages, to a number of devices. So if you have a Google Voice number, you give that number out to people. If people call that number, you can activate on the website and say, I also have this landline number, and I also have this other cell phone number, or whatever your devices are. Or this week, I have this device. Like the reason I even thought of this is because if we're starting to get more and more devices to review, I want to have one. I want to use that review unit as if it's my phone. So I got to route those calls to my phone somehow.
I had the same thought as well. I'm like, because Eileen was giving me the Droid 3 to play with, and I'm like, oh man, if I'd set up Google Voice, then I could just route my calls to that and use it as my phone.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what it attempts to do. It also gives you a number of other things. Voicemail transcription. It's a voicemail service, so you start getting your voicemails through Google Voice. They transcribe it, not usually very well, but it's, you know, sometimes it gives you an idea of what it's about, whether you need to listen to it or not.
Get the bullet points from it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Call screening. So it has kind of an option where you can turn on call screening, and when you pick up the phone, it'll say, so-and-so is on the line. Do you want to accept it? And you can actually hear the caller waiting to leave a voicemail, and in fact leaving a voicemail, you can butt in at any time. So it essentially tries to mimic what your answering machine is at home, right?
The old days of the answering machine, right? Yeah. Where you wouldn't let it go to the answering machine and say, hey, are you there? And then you're like, no.
Yeah, suddenly they're talking about giving you a raise, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah. Hey, I'm here. I'm here right now. So they have that call screening. You can turn that on or off. You can create groups for your contacts and have each of those be treated differently. So they might get different greetings, call screening settings for each one. You can do a number of things with creating groups around contacts. Or you can do it by contact as well. You can record calls. So if you need to do that, I don't know.
We had
know.
That question a couple weeks
Transcription.
Ago.
Transcription.
Yeah.
For, recording calls. Mm-hmm. And now you can. Now.
And you can do that at any time during a call. Mm-hmm. So in the middle of a call, you could turn on recording and have it go. I haven't tried that yet, so I don't know exactly how it's
done. And that's a great tool if you work in the press or you need to record an interview or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's right there, and then it's accessible in the cloud. You can get
totally,
it.
Totally. Totally. Like you said, Ron, you can port your existing number for $20 if you don't want to choose. Because, I mean, here's kind of the thing that I struggled with. Do I go with a new number that I choose through Google Voice, go into my contacts list and tell everybody to change the number that they call me at, even though I've had this one number forever, you know, tell them this is my new number and route it through Google Voice?
That was, for me, that was a deal breaker for even considering it for years because my number, like it or not, and I don't like my number because I got it when I was in Connecticut. No offense to Connecticut, but I don't.
Bay Area specific.
I'd rather have a New York number, to be honest. A friend of mine has a 516 number and I want it. But because your area code kind of becomes a little bit of your identity. But that number's been out in, I mean, I've had that number since 99.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are people who I could never even get in touch with about that number. And God forbid they ever want to get in touch with me. I don't want to not let them. So,
right.
Yeah. So
suddenly they're blocked off from me.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I had the same kind of issues. So you can port your existing number. It's $20. I'll just finish with the good. And then also there's the web interface, which you can use to make calls. You can write SMS. Check your text messages, listen to voicemails. You can manage all of it online.
Yeah. And that's where you can set up all the groups. You can set up the greetings for individual groups. So you can say, if the people from work call me and they get my voicemail, leave this message versus personal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's great.
Right.
It's a great product.
So let's go to the bad, because this is kind of once I started hitting up on Google Plus and saying, I'm doing it, blah, 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 then you start to get the people being like, oh, well, you might want to, you know this before you do. And then they're like,
caution.
Okay. So first of all, and this might not be as big of an issue for a lot of people as I realized through Google Plus, but it is for me, no MMS support. That's no multimedia text messages, essentially. So if some is if your friend sends you a picture, which I have, actually have a lot of friends that do that. Mm-hmm. They send me a picture of their daughter or whatever and say, oh, isn't this funny or cute or whatever. I'm not going to get that. Not only that, they're not going to get any sort of a message that tells them that I didn't get it.
It's like sending an MMS to a landline.
Yeah.
It just goes out and it fails and doesn't get delivered. Yep.
A lot of people on Google Plus were saying, well, why don't you just ditch that old, you know, antiquated, archaic system and retrain your friends to, you know, start sending you emails of those pictures.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, well, and I'm not in the habit of, like, telling my friends that what they're doing is the stupid way to do it and to do my way instead.
But, but even there's people, like, I always go to my sister, who's an English teacher, and she's not techie or anything like that. She got an Android phone. She sends me pictures of my nieces. And it's like because she can. It's like picture, send, and like it makes sense. And
In the flow of just sending text messages is kind of part of that system and what they're used to doing when they send texts. So, you know, it would be a lot to expect them to change it just because I went through Google Voice. So I didn't want to have to do that.
No, I'm the most important thing in your life.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Change for me.
You can't use third-party SMS apps. More or less, you can't. So you can't initiate a text message through your third-party SMS app. If you do that, it will end up going through your regular phone. This is where it kind of gets a little confusing. So let me step back for a second. Google Voice, if you're using it correctly, you have the Google Voice number, and then you have the number that is your carrier number, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're using it correctly, everybody gets your Google Voice number, but your carrier phone is just yet another device that it forwards to if they're calling your Google Voice number. So if you go onto your carrier phone and go into your SMS app and type out an SMS, it's still going to send through your carrier. It's not going to go through Google Voice. You have to do that through the Google Voice app, unless you've received a text from someone through Google Voice. Then you can go in and reply to it in your third-party SMS app, and it'll still go through Google Voice.
That's so confusing. Yeah.
It's confusing.
Sorry.
It totally
I'm confused.
Is.
Well, I mean, the basic is that your phone number, what is your phone number that you give out to everybody, doesn't go to a phone any longer. It goes to Google.
Right.
And then Google routes it to another phone. That phone needs a number.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So your cell phone, you go to your carrier, you get a phone
with
a number.
You had the number.
You get a landline. You don't give anyone that number because you want them to call the Google Voice thing.
Yes.
So now you're out and about, maybe you've had a couple of cocktails.
You just fire up the SMS app.
And you send out a text,
like, hey.
And they get it, and they're like, who is this number? Because they won't know who it is.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Or they're adding, you know, two numbers for you to their contacts, which, I mean, that works,
that's
too.
That's the solution. I mean, like, I'd use Google Voice a lot with international calls.
Apparently, if you have Sprint, everything ports very, very well. Sprint in the United States, everything ports very well as we're
right, because they have an exclusive deal with Google Voice built into their carrier service. No, I don't.
Neither do I.
So
that's the challenge.
And there's a lot of us that don't. So, yes, those of you who have Sprint, good on you.
And that's a good thing. And you still get MMS. You still get, you know, like it's all that integration is there. It's actually a pretty attractive feature for Sprint.
Exactly. I really want all the carriers to have the ability to do that. And especially if all these carriers are kind of going all in on Android, maybe not all in, but I mean, Android's getting heavy support on all US carriers right now. And this is undoubtedly one of the really kind of one of the things that true Android fans, you know, I hear all the time. They're like, this takes your Android phone to the next level.
Yeah.
Like the flexibility of the service. So they need to support it.
That Google Voice is still US only, though. So it's important to note.
It is US only. That was one thing I was going to get to here. They're apparently, let's see here, Jens Redmer, who's Google's European Director of Business Development, said Google is currently dogfooding its telephony service, Google Voice, in Europe ahead of a planned launch outside of the US. So here's to hoping that everybody else gets it someone soon.
What does dog fooding mean?
That means they're eating, you know.
I know. Okay. Just like, it's just odd to see in a fresh kind of thing.
I know. I read that too. I was like, really?
Yeah. So basically, you know, internally they're testing this out in places outside of the U.S. So that's good. What else is there? So if you choose to port your number, which is something that I'm considering, you lose MMS support. You lose multimedia, you know, messaging support because you're all in on that number, as we've already talked. Now, here's where you have to watch out. Your current contract with your provider, service provider, cancels the minute you change your number through Google Voice, okay? So you have to make sure that you don't have any early termination fees built into your contract or your post-contract, or at least call your carrier and see if you can talk your way out of it, which I know people have been able to do.
Yeah, that was my thought, was that I was gonna call T-Mobile and be like, listen, just give me a new number. Like, I'll stick with you. Don't give me another contract, but just, you know, change my number.
Yeah.
And then let me port this number over to Google and explain what I was doing.
I'd be really surprised if they didn't let you do that if you called and explained. But it's not an easy process, I mean, I guess the
classic
point.
It's funny. Sometimes when I was a Verizon customer, I used to love this, to go into the Verizon store like a year into a phone contract and try to get a phone upgrade without having to, you know, it's a game, like the customer service game. And you're
did
the
it
great.
Work?
Sometimes it did. I mean, it all depends on how much of a jerk you want to be. But but ultimately, what it comes down to, but not by a jerk, I mean, like, comes down to you as the customer. You have one fantastic wild card that you can play in any of those scenarios, which is I'll take my business elsewhere.
Yeah,
and you can't play it all. You can't play that card all the time.
All the time.
You
got
to be careful. You got to know when to play it, when not to. But you're just like, if you're not getting what you want, it'd be like, okay, well, as soon as my contract's over, I'm gonna leave. You know, and then if you have a good customer service rep, they'll do whatever they can to keep you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely. And finally, I would say, you know, another bad possibly is that there really is no customer support, as there really isn't with most Google services, right?
Yeah.
It's a free service. There's no number that you call when your phone call isn't going through if that happens or whatever. It's just there's no customer support. So you got to be able to kind of take that into your own hands. So, I went back and forth with this, and ultimately I will have in the show notes, twit.tv/AAA. You can find the show notes there, kind of what my plan has been for right now. And I am seriously considering porting at this point. But before I did that, this is what I have going right now. Basically, and I'll open up my catch. This is a little teaser for the Android Arena, by the way, what you just saw right there. So essentially my plan is with Verizon, you can do something called conditional call forwarding that I never knew about.
Interesting.
On the service, you can dial a little code and then the number that you want to forward it to. And what I've done is I've said, if I don't answer at my original Verizon line or I'm busy, then it forwards to my Google Voice number. What that ends up doing is then calling any devices I have through Google Voice, right? Mm. So I get a call on my carrier line. I get a chance to answer it there. I get a call on my Google Voice lines and a chance to answer them there. And then if that doesn't happen, then it goes to my Google Voice voicemail. So I get the benefits of Google voicemail. So it's kind of the best of both worlds as far as I'm concerned there. That still doesn't solve the text messaging and especially the multimedia messaging. Right. So the SMS and MMS aren't passing through, right? I found an app. I actually looked at your app from last week, Ron, but it didn't do this. But I did find an app called SMS Backup Plus. You can find it in the Android market. Installed it on my phone. And essentially what it allows me to do is connect it to my Google email account. And what it will do on my carrier phone is any MMS or SMS messages that come through, within a minute after they come through, I've set it to then pass that along to Gmail under SMS label and pop it in my notification on all the phones through Google Voice. So if I have my Google Voice phone, if a call comes through, I get it here eventually. If a text message comes through on my carrier, I get it here eventually in the form of a notification. It's not as good, but still, it supports SMS and multimedia. And it also does the, one step further in that it's archiving, like you said last week, it's archiving all of my text messages to my Gmail, allowing them to be searchable and stuff. Yeah. So it's kind of like, I got razzed a little bit on Google Plus from some people that were like, dude, you're making this way too hard. Why don't you just do it through Google Voice?
I was just saying.
Because it does the same thing.
It's complicated. Yeah.
It is complicated, but it wasn't that complicated, really. I have the step-by-step at twit.tv/AA. Check out that there, the show notes, you'll find them. And, like I said, I am still seriously considering just porting the number and doing away with MMS and just realizing that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, you know? See, I mean, that's really, I mean, for me, after we talked last week, I spent some time over the weekend and I read your posts and I went through my kind of exploratory thing. And for me, I'm not going to do it. And the two reasons are basically because the number portability, because I just upped my contract and I don't want to, and I guess maybe now that is the time because I just upped, so it wouldn't be that much of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But I could do the customer service game. I just don't know how much I want to. But the MMS stuff, And the making it that complicated, you know what I mean? Like, I just want it to be easy, so I'm just gonna wait. I got it. You got to think that Google Voice is working on MMS support.
Like, they have it working with Sprint, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it must work somehow. Yeah. This has been a long time coming. The solution.
It's funny though, because I've been a Google. I mean, I was a Grand Central user. Like, I was a Grand Central beta user when Grand Central first came out, which is what Google bought and then eventually migrated into Google Voice. So I've been on this for a while and wanting it, and I'm like, all right, great, this is awesome. But I can't port my number. And I was like, okay, great, now I can port my number, but I can't do MMS. So like, I'm just waiting for the one day where I can go to Valhalla and it will work and it will be wonderful. Yeah,
so. Totally.
And then we'll have some new different phone that does that's holographic.
That's not too much to ask. So anyways, I hope that kind of clears it up a little bit. Google Voice, it is still a little complicated. That's, you know, you kind of go back and forth when you're considering it, because it's like one step forward, one step back is kind of what I've found. But it's a cool service. And I know a lot of people that have bought into it totally swear by it, maybe you want to check it out.
I'm kind of jealous. I want to know, like, when you get it all set up and then, like, 2 weeks in, let me know how it goes.
Let's take a quick break and thank our sponsors, Squarespace. Squarespace.com is fast and easy way to publish a high quality website or blog. It's just super easy. It's made for you, the user, who, you know, possibly hasn't created a lot of websites or had much access or, you know, experience with HTML coding. It's all super just kind of UI driven. You can go in there and automatically shift things around, column sizes, widgets that, you know, kind of add Twitter to your page pretty easily within a couple of steps. Just a ton of things that you can do there. Build forms, Flickr embeds, social media buttons, website tracking. They have tools for SEO and search engine optimization, permission access handling if you have multiple people trying to publish to your blog, all this stuff. They also have all these resources, and a special support team gives you 24 hours a day, 7 day a week support. And they also have jasonsthumbring.squarespace.com.
Which we're just looking at.
It says ring engaged at the top.
Of course.
Get it? Get it?
Jason's.
Here, let's show the app really quick. Yeah. I've got the Android app right next to me, and I'll launch that. Can you zoom in a little bit, Chad? But it's gorgeous. It's just like the iOS app. You even get a preview of your site here. I love it. I use it. And you can compose, post pictures really quickly on the fly. I did that one time. You can even see stats, uniques versus robots, who's subscribing via RSS,
robots.
All that stuff. And plenty of settings here. So for notifications, you can even have a particular ringtone, lots of good stuff. So now they finally made over to Android. So yay. Thank you, Squarespace. Yay.
Nice. Yeah. Well, so then you can manage it on the go as well.
Did you find your site?
I did. It hasn't changed very much since last week.
Except for the tagline, ring engaged.
Ring also engaged.
The upper right-hand corner, the donate a thumb ring to Jason.
Yeah, I think that's new too.
Yeah, I didn't see that last time.
Yeah, if anyone wants to donate a thumb ring to me, I probably won't wear it, but I could display them proudly.
Is there a personal, like, is there a story behind it? Yeah, your wife gave it to you, right? Yeah, but is there anything more than that, or has it been in her family?
No, it's nothing more than that. It was bought at a
I feel like it's going to be an heirloom now. I feel like
every episode turns into my thumb ring episode.
Love it.
Moving on.
All right. What
can I say? Okay, so let's get to the offer first. Okay. Free trial, squarespace.com. Use the offer code Android9, and that's all you need. 6 months for 10% off. So check it out, squarespace.com. Android9 is the code. Use it for 6 months of 10% off. And we thank Squarespace for their support.
Oh, and their app is free, by the way. Free Android.
Of course.
App.
Yes.
Yeah. Of course. Let's go to hardware. I'm going to do my best to go through all of these releases. And actually, we didn't get to this one a couple weeks ago. The HTC Rhyme, this is my next, Joanna Stern has called the Lady Phone. And I've had, if you follow me on G+, I've had some choice words about the Lady Phone. But what I will say about the Lady Phone is that it is an Android phone. It actually is very pretty. And they're not going to say that they are marketing this phone to women, but if they are, the color to me is appealing.
It has a purse dongle.
Purse dongle that tells you when you get a text message or a phone call, it lights up. You have to attach it to the headphone jack so you can't listen to music at the same time and get these notifications, whatever. It's only a 3.7-inch, I say it's only because now I own a 4.3-inch, 3.7-inch screen, super LCD display, 1 gigahertz Qualcomm Snapdragon CPU, 768 megabytes of RAM, a 5 megapixel rear camera, and VGA front-facing shooter. No LTE.
It's ladies nice. Don't like the
well,
speed.
Here's the, I mean, I watched TNT when you guys were talking about it last week and gave it a lot of crap to it. And the thing is that it's a lower price point.
Yeah.
It's a mid-range, dare I say, entry-level smartphone market kind of thing. I think it's a great move for HTC.
Also, it's running Sense 3.5, and we've shown that before in the past, so it's a different-looking UI. Yeah. It's fine. I just, you know, I encourage ladies out there to get a better phone, to get a stronger phone, because just like you like your man, you want a stronger phone. Right, ladies? Just saying. Okay. Anyways.
I like the plum color. I do like the color.
It's nice.
I feel like the color. Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, give me a little more speed. You know, whatever. Anyways. That is the HTC Rhyme. And maybe we'll get that. Maybe I'll review the lady phone someday. I mean, it's fine. It's a fine phone. It looks fine.
The lady phone.
Okay. Now, moving on. HTC. Oh, and that was the big announcement that they were last week.
Yeah, we had alluded to that a few weeks ago.
That HTC was going to have an announcement. That was the announcement, the HTC Rhyme. So, coming full circle here. Now, HTC is also planning a UK party on October 6th. We think Jason's phone, the Vigor, might be one of my phones.
There's been a lot of details and leaks and screens leaking out about the Vigor, so it really does seem like they're ramping up to some sort of announcement. It's possible that it would be this UK party on October 6th. No one really knows for sure. It's got to be soon.
All right. Also, T-Mobile finally announced their Galaxy S2, which is going to be available online on October 10th and in stores on October 12th. It's $299. Notable things about that phone, it's 4.5, which is just slightly bigger than my phone. It has HDMI out. It's going to run 2.3.5, and it's going to be NFC enabled. We didn't report this, but the AT&T version of the Samsung Galaxy S2 is also NFC enabled. It's going to be as big as my phone, the 4.3-inch, and that's coming out even sooner on October 2nd. And finally, God, Samsung, killing me with all these announcements, but apparently they have just announced the Samsung Galaxy S2 LTE and the Galaxy S2 HD LTE handsets for the Korean market. Which probably will eventually come here. I can't keep up with any more. There's so many announcements. What you need to know, this is 4.65 Super AMOLED. I love Super AMOLED. With 1280 by 720 resolution. Do you guys need an HD phone? I don't know. Do you need one?
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be fine.
I would like my next phone to have an impressive display, sure.
Yeah. Last week we talked about the Samsung Galaxy S3, and now we're talking about this HD LTE phone. Oh, my Lord.
Man, those Samsung phones just look more and more like iPhones every day.
Don't they? It's the lawsuit. Anyways, they're coming out fast and furious. It's hard to keep up, but we try to keep you updated here on the show.
That's right.
Exactly. So, speaking of keeping you updated, as a Motorola Zoom owner, I've been keeping a very close eye on what's going on with Motorola Zoom 2. Mm-hmm. And some photos have leaked recently that show the size of it is going to be pretty impressively thin. It's actually Motorola's Zoom 2 tablets. Pictures ended up on Engadget, and it's looking to be about 9.3 millimeters thick, which is about the same thickness as the iPhone 4. Which is not too thick for a tablet. I was actually impressed by that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see more kind of photos emerging of these. It's going to, you know, got Android 3.2. It's going to have five megapixel HD cameras on the rear. And it was also reported that the prototypes that these photos are were buggy as hell. but whoever gave the tip off to Engadget did say that confirmed LTE on both devices.
Wow.
So it's interesting to see LTE kind of making its headway on the tablets.
I like how Motorola is kind of styling some of these latest leaks.
Too.
You kind of see a definitely a different aesthetic in their stylings. And I don't know, it's different. You know what I mean? It's not the same old run-of-the-mill tablet. It certainly has this kind of interesting kind of angular but still rounded look to it.
It's the same design approach, but the same attempt at innovation in the design that actually Sony did with that tablet that we had that Leo was playing with it.
Yeah.
That was like the wedge. When I saw that, it's like, what the heck is that? And you look at it, I'm like, oh, that's actually kind of neat.
So
I kind of like them playing with the bezels.
Exactly.
Because we all know what the screen, touchscreen, Android, okay, we got that. What can you do around the device to make it different than the other once.
Totally, totally. But not like in a kitschy, like right. just because right. sort
not
of
not like
way.
Some like dongle that comes out to tell you when you have a test.
See?
I mean, you know.
I tell you, that phone.
The dongle.
Although I'm sure there are people that will find that very useful. All right, well, I'll just attempt to review the Droid Bionic because I have a Bionic. Did you hear? But I have a review unit Bionic. Actually, last week we were blessed to receive a package filled with Verizon Android phones.
Yes, very exciting. We have the Bionic, which you're going to review. We have the Droid 3, which Ron is going to give a first look at in just a minute. The LG Revolution, which I'm going to look at in a little while. And then the Droid Charge that Ayaz is actually going to look at. He's going to shoot a little video for us, and we'll roll it in eventually.
Yeah, totally. But we might as well start with the Bionic. And I won't spend too much time on this because I'm going to hopefully record one of those stand-up things too. But this is the Bionic right here. Maybe zoom in a little bit. there we go. All right, cool. So I think my first impressions with the Bionic are largely positive. I actually, you know, especially having like been demoted to my Motorola Droid to come back to the Bionic and be able to spend almost a week with it. It's been really nice. I got to say, one of the things I really like about it is kind of how it feels in the hand. It has this kind of softish back that actually the original Motorola Droid had this too, and I don't know about the Droid 3.
Kind of like almost rubberized.
Yeah,
almost.
A little rubberized, but not overtly, but just enough so that when it's in your hand, it kind of doesn't feel like it's going to slip out, you know? Mm-hmm. So a lot of the Samsungs have that kind of plasticky back, and it always feels a lot more fragile to me because of it. But the design of the body is pretty slick. It's got this HDMI port, which I've never used and didn't use, but it's nice to know that it's there, I guess. It has touch keys on the front, so it doesn't have the actual built-in hardware keys down at the bottom, and that's actually my preference anyways. A little volume rocker on the side there. Not a whole lot in the way of buttons. Power on, off, up at the top, and your headphone jack. That's really it as far as kind of connectability and plug-in ability. But I just really thought, like, every time I picked it up to use it, I kind of enjoyed having this device in my hand and using it. So that was really nice. I really liked the feel of the haptics inside of it. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but I've had some phones where, you know, when you turn on, when you do things that do a little haptic jolt, it just kind of feels clunky or, you know, uneven or whatever. This thing, you kind of feel it through the entire device and, like, typing on the keyboard, and when it gives you that little haptic punch. I wanted to type more with it because it was just kind of, it felt nice to type with it. It's a really nice, bright display. It's a QHD, I think they call it a pentile screen. So it's actually, I found like out in the sunlight, it was super bright. And, you know, there was never a time where I was kind of squinting and covering up the sun to try and see the display. 4G was great. I don't know how you rate 4G because I've only had 4G on a couple of devices. But, you know, when it was on, it worked well. And when I'm up in Petaluma, it doesn't matter because there's no 4G up here. audio output, I thought was really nice and hot, and that's, you know, what I hope for, both through the speakers and through the headphones. I thought the audio sounded pretty nice. And finally, of course, call quality, because that is important with a phone. And I thought that the calls were great. I had a few conversations with a few different people, including my wife, and she said they sounded great on her end. And, you know, I was able to get the earpiece kind of loud enough. Some phones, you can't get it quite loud enough for my taste, and this thing... The Droid Bionic was able to do that. Now for the downsides. And unfortunately, the downsides, two of them in particular, are enough to keep me from going with this phone. First of all, the display, as bright as it is and as sharp as it is, it's this pentile matrix with the QHD display, which is kind of like a blessing and a curse, right? It's a blessing because it's very bright in the sunlight and it's really kind of sharp in that regard. It's a curse because, and this is kind of nitpicking, but I will tell you, I noticed this every single time I used it without trying to look for it. If you hold it still, and you got to be looking kind of at a normal kind of, you know, face to hand distance. If you hold it still, it looks great. If you shake it at all, you start to see the little ridges and edges around every single little object and pixel.
Really?
And it almost, to me, reminded me of like a TV with a tiny little hint of interference flashing through it. And after I kind of wrote my notes on this phone, I went through and read other reviewers' kind of takes on it. And a lot of them didn't see it. And a lot of people that I showed this to had no idea, including my wife. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. The display looks great. So she didn't see that. But there were reviewers that saw what I was talking about. And I think it's just kind of one of those things that either bothers you or it doesn't. And it really bothered me.
Did you feel a sigh of relief when you saw other people saw it? You're like, okay, I'm
yes,
crazy.
I know. I'm like, maybe it's defective. Maybe it's not. But I don't know. Like, and I know I'm going to give it to you, Eileen, but if you just kind of focus on like the gray area, hold it still, and then shake it a little bit.
I don't even have to shake it. I see it.
Yeah, you see a little bit of that kind of fuzz drifting around. And I mean, that was enough for me to be like, eh, I don't like, you know, I don't know if it's the QHD or if it's the Pentile portion of the screen or what exactly makes for that. But it was enough to kind of call me off on it.
Interesting.
But like I said, don't just follow me. This is probably a good reason for you to go to the Verizon store and check it out for yourself, because you might not see it. A lot of people don't. And the other one, which is a really big deal for me, is camera performance. Oh, I was using this camera a lot because I use the camera on my phone a lot, right? It was super frustrating. Autofocus mode, if you had it on, would either work immediately or it would take forever. And when I say forever, I'd hit the button and it would take 8 seconds for a photo to finally take.
You're kidding me, really?
That's too long. That is far too long. It reminded me, actually, of my old Motorola Droid, because I thought that it was just old and that's why it did that. But this does it. Sometimes you'd have a perfectly focused picture, make no changes whatsoever, and suddenly for no reason, boom, it would go entirely out of focus and blurry. And you try and correct it and it wouldn't correct like fast. Like it was super slow. And what else? Low light pics, not great quality. But I have yet to really see phone cameras that have really good low light performance. So I don't really ding it too much on that. And the only other thing I really noticed was that it gets pretty hot when you're uploading for extended periods of time. Again, I don't know if that's a huge deal, but there were a couple of times where I was like, you know, I'd taken pictures and then instant upload on Google Plus was uploading them. And suddenly, like, my pocket's really hot. And I'm like, ah, what's going on? But
the old reminder that you've got a piece of electronics.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. I wonder if my data plan can hold this. Whoa. So all in all, I actually enjoyed the Bionic a lot more than
after coming off than all it those made, cons.
Well, the cons have to follow the pros, otherwise it sounds like I'm going right out of the gate. But ultimately, you know, maybe the camera doesn't matter as much to you. The display probably doesn't matter as much to you as it does to me. I would say go check it out, because as far as Verizon phones are concerned, it's a pretty slick device. I personally will be waiting.
Okay.
So that's it. And also, I guess I should also mention, that's right, I forgot that I even put that in there. But just along the rumor tip, there's details coming out about the Motorola Droid Razr. Remember the Razr way back when?
I had a Razr back in the day.
And they're saying that the guts of this are very similar to the Bionic, possibly the Bionic sibling, but with a 1.2 gigahertz dual core, as well as a SAMOLED, Super AMOLED Plus display away from the QHD. So maybe that fixes the problem.
I'm a big fan of Super AMOLED. I'm not going back.
I saw somebody the other night with that old Razr. Like, I was like, this still works? I was like,
we have one at home as an emergency device. I don't know how well it's going to be as an emergency device since the battery is so
didn't
crap.
Didn't they kill the analog spectrum? Or I thought I missed that.
Have it laying on our floor in the office. I see it there every day. I'm like, why is that there?
Just on the floor.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, so I got to play with the Droid 3. Now, admittedly, I just had this weekend, so I don't have as full of a detailed review as you, Jason. Me, actually, now I feel bad. I wish I had a full, you know, but and I actually don't know off the top of my head the specs. But I gotta admit, I was pretty impressed with the Droid 3, more so than I thought I would be. Very similar to your phone in terms of, you know, it's got HD and the HDMI out and all stuff like that. For some reason, the power buttons on the top, which kind of threw me off for some reason. I don't know. It's like it's like centered.
Centered
and,
on the top.
And that kind of, as I was using it, I found myself actually turning it off just instinctively as I just pressed it. But what makes this one interesting, much like the original Droid, this is the one with the slide-out keyboard. And so if you are looking for a good Droid phone with a slide-out keyboard, we were talking before the show, Eileen, this is probably the one you want to go with, because...
Yeah, I mean, and they have actually separated the numbers. You don't have to do the alt keys, which
is exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, so you get straight number pads. And it's funny, the going shift and alt or whatever to get to... You realize how much numbers you actually do type, which is kind of fascinating. But the great display, I was very impressed by the display. The resolution is sharper and higher than my Galaxy S, which I was... kind of impressed by. I like, believe it or not, I actually like some of the transitions and the customizations and the Moto Blur kind of UI stuff. I found myself kind of, oh no, that's kind of, this is engaging. I can see why a you know, quote unquote average user would be attracted to this, because this is pretty slick. The one thing is that, much like its Droid predecessors, it's got some heft to it. I don't know if you can see how thick it is, and I'm just gonna do a comparison to my phone, the Galaxy S, and it doesn't. This probably shows it the best. So it's a full. It's black. It's hard to tell, but there's at least maybe like, I would say maybe a quarter of an inch or so.
And yours is curved.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of hard to see the full on size difference, but yeah, you can see it there. But it's a neat little phone, and I got to admit, if somebody's looking for a slider with a keyboard, it will get the job done. I mean, it will, you know, and the 4G was fat. I mean, I was downloading some apps from home, and I noticed a considerable difference in speed. I was like, whoa, that was fast. I was like, oh, wait a minute, my phone kind of sucks. But it's kind of, I kind of wish I didn't know. But yeah, no, it's pretty good. I didn't experience any of the problems with the camera that you found, Jason. I mean, like, it was responsive and worked no problem. But yeah, it's a neat little phone. Probably not for me because of the thickness, and I've kind of moved on from the slide-out keyboard. But I was impressed as somebody who was really hard on the first Droid and thought it was, you know, like, it wasn't as solid of a phone as the marketing campaign made it out to be. I think this is the phone that I would have expected when the first Droid came out. So. Yeah.
Does it have 4G? I thought it didn't have 4G.
No, it's not.
Oh, does it? It's just 3G.
It was fast. 3G
was
really
fast.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
It was considerably faster than my phone at home. That's weird.
Well, it's Verizon.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
Yeah. Wow, is the Verizon network that much faster than T-Mobile?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, wow. I got my face. Good.
It's also a 1 gigahertz dual core, so it is a dual core device as well.
I mean, it was incredibly fast. I was impressed by how fast. Because it was so fast, I just assumed it was 4G. Like, I don't even look at the 3G like type thing, but it was pretty good. So there you go. All right.
All right, cool.
Rock and roll.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, well, what do we have next?
Well, we got a voicemail from Gary, right, Chad?
All right, Gary from Alaska.
Hey, everybody. Gary Harris, Kenai, Alaska. Love the All About Android show on the Twit Network. And I recently kind of converted most away from my iPhone to an Android. But the only thing I don't like is the dog catcher app, which I happen to love. And I love the idea of not being tethered to anything to get podcasts. You know, wow, who would have thought? But I don't like the fact that if I listen to a video podcast and minimize it, the audio goes away. And I would really like to be able to download video podcasts using Dogcatcher or something as good, and being able to pass out of that, do something else, and still have the audio portion playing so that I don't have to keep both audio and video, because there's sometimes I just can't watch the video, but why download both of them? You know what I'm saying? Hey, and it might just be something that can be done, and I'm just not familiar yet about everything that Android can do, and I'm discovering things, but I appreciate a little help. Thanks.
And help you will get, sir.
Dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun. Of course, went to Google Plus with this. That seemed to be what I do. So I love Dogcatcher. Back in episode 3 or 5 or something, we did podcast apps, and Dogcatcher was my app. And I had experienced this myself, playing a video podcast. I want to minimize it to go do something similar in the same way that, you know, you play an audio podcast and you do other things with your phone. But when you back out of it, it would stop the video from playing entirely. Dogcatcher, it is possible. So, Chad, if you'll take my screen, I'll show you. I have the Dogcatcher app up, right? I've got All About Android playing. Da-da-da-da-da-da. If I go home, it stops playing, right? So if I go back to the list and I long press on the file, I can play as audio. And I click that, and I go home, and there we go.
Cool.
So it is possible. You can also do it through other apps as well, right?
Yeah. Well, I actually use Pocket Cast a lot, and I'd like to thank them for making us the Android podcast of the week a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyways, Pocket Cast from our friends over at Shifty Jelly. So if I'm watching the video, oh, and it's buffering. Hello, Wi-Fi.
Wah, wah. Just
banging on the screen will help.
I know. Da, da, da. Let's see. I'm going to turn off Wi-Fi here. Sorry, guys. Sometimes our Wi-Fi is a little cranky. Okay. So let's go back here, and I'm listening. I want to go to the video portion. Oh, hey, I'm watching video, but I want to keep listening. You just hit this button in the middle.
That's cool.
This is the button you hit in the middle, and it goes and transfers it to audio. And you can keep listening at your leisure while surfing and whatnot. That's really cool. So basically, yeah, there's from video to audio, you could switch within Pocket Cast, and it's a nice little handy feature that you can get. They've actually updated their app quite a bit, adding, you know,
it's 30
seconds, 10 seconds skip, and lots of really
It's very
cool
impressive.
Things.
They've done some a lot of good improvements, actually.
Because
that's my one complaint about the dog catcher solution is that you've got to choose play as audio and then go do something else. But what if I just want to go back and pick up video where I was?
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So that's interesting.
And then I should also mention Tiago Souza on Google Plus also brought up Beyond Pod and said that you can do it there. It's just not as clear. You have to pause the video, add it to a playlist, and it'll play just the audio. So they've added it in, but it's just not super intuitive. So there you go. A few options for you. All right, let's move on to the apps.
So last week we had a little bit of fun as I came up with yet another one of my $1 million ideas, and one of you actually did it during the show. We were talking about ways to manage your fitness and your food intake, and I said there should be a food shopping app that doesn't let you add anything to your shopping list. And do we have a clip that we're going to roll for those who missed that moment?
You can find the Don't Find Food app in the Android
Market. It's
under Ron Richards.
It's a great shopping list, and it's just nothing. You can't add anything to the list. It's just
it won't let you. It's like also, you've gone over your limit.
It's also a financial savings app as well, where you limit how much you spend at the store. This is a genius idea.
I think you're onto something.
There's your app. Go into App Adventure that's now at MIT and then make it. There you go.
That should be an easy one to make, too.
So,
and it should be.
It should be. You would think so. And you could see how big my sideburns were last week. And then, sure enough, the show finishes up. And should we roll this next clip?
Download complete. We can see that.
Okay. There's an APK.
Okay,
ready?
It's about to get real in here.
I really hope this isn't some sort of like. I'm gonna take it.
Yeah.
I just realized everyone in the chat room, don't just install APKs from third parties that you might not know. Seriously.
Haven't we talked about viruses on Android?
Listen, I'm trusting you that this is not gonna ruin, this is not gonna screw my butt. Listen, silly chicken.
Don't do this at home.
We are not
leading by example here.
This is equivalent of.
Are you still recording, Chad? Record this. It's too late.
We're going to live the moment. All right, ready? I'm going to say install. Let's do it. Oh, I really hope I don't regret the silly chicken.
Is that spoken?
I know. As Waldo says, you are trusting a guy named Silly Chicken.
Phone wipe complete.
Okay, all right, there you go. Application installed. So let's open it.
All right.
No food.
Here's where all of your text messages are sent.
Type the add an item button to add an item. All right, so I'm going to add an item. So, your list is full.
That was awesome.
Send a reminder. No items. No need for send a reminder because you have no items. Excellent.
That was awesome. Someone really just did that. So cool.
Silly Chicken, that's good job. Awesome. Thank you for making my app dream come
Silly
true.
Chicken.
This is my first.
Awesome.
So email me and we'll figure out the ownership scheme, you know, because I want you to get a lot of the credit for that. I think we should put this in the marketplace.
Yes, put it in the marketplace and we'll talk about it next
week.
That is
great.
Ta-da!
Whoa.
We totally just did, kind of.
So good. A big thanks goes out to Caleb, also known as Silly Chicken, in the chat room, who then also wrote into us with an email, and he said, "So glad that you like my no food app. I made it on the fly during last week's episode. You don't have to worry about it hacking your phone, as we alluded to. I really don't know why it wanted storage, modify or delete SD card contents, network communication, full internet access, and phone calls. Read phone state. It's a lot of permissions.
I know.
I think this is just the default that this app inventor does." But I really wanted this product. That will let you make simple apps on a fly. I'm glad to see it does have a new home at MIT. But I hope they will still let the public use it. Now that app I made was really simple with it. I'm no computer programmer, so this proves App Inventor is easy to use. Yet the APKs are big. I hope when it officially goes to MIT, they can compress the APKs even more. The other thing I made with the App Inventor was a text bombing app that had its uses with some annoying friends. But besides that, I made the no food app out of fun, and I hope you enjoyed the laugh. And we did very much. Did enjoy the
laptop. It was exactly what you asked for.
It was exactly the spec, and I've submitted it to the Amazon Android store. We don't have to update it as much. So, no, I'm kidding. I haven't. No.
I was like, you should. Why not? That would be fun just to see what happens.
Yes, it was fantastic.
And see the comments.
Yeah.
What's this for?
Yeah, so good job, Caleb. Good. You will forever be one of my favorite chat room people. So.
That was great.
Awesome.
Okay, I'll do a quick, this is my app of the week, and it's called Pixlr. I can't even pronounce it. Pixel-O-Matic app. And it was, you know, blatantly at the top of the Android marketplace over the weekend, and I thought, okay, I'll try it. Now, I wouldn't just talk about any photo app unless I was very impressed, and I really was with this app. I couldn't believe how gorgeous the UI is. It's free, and how easy, and how many different filters and transition or sort of textures in the background that you can have with this photo app. So it's a new one of my favorites, along with a little photo that I still use. Now let me just show you really quick. Here it is. So what you do, you've got two options. You could take a picture within the app, or you can go ahead and upload a photo, which I love to do first. So I'm just going to go and find in my gallery a photo. And I got some really nice flowers here from my husband over the weekend. Really nice.
Aww.
Check out all of these filters, though. There's Sophia, Peter. It just goes on and on and on. I love options. So let's see. I'm going to go ahead and pick. This looks kind of nice. I don't like that one. Let me give you a little pink. Oh, no, that's blurry. So you have so many options. Up at the top, you scroll, and the first thing you have are all the filters. So I'm going to pick this. Gives a little bit of a blurry effect, and then I'm going to go into, this is the middle section is texture, and I can give it kind of funky lighting here, some, you know, kind of weird waves. I'm just going to do something really bizarre, and then I can also give it a frame.
This is great.
I love it. So look, you could do a Polaroid frame. You could do. I just love the UI of this at the top when you scroll, and then I'm going to give it a little flowery frame. Okay, and then you save, and then you have several options here. You could save to your SD card, export. You could also share. Do all the kinds of things that you would want to do with a photo. Chad, if you could take a look at. Two of my pictures here that I have on our rundown. The first one here that I did was just a lantern, and what I did was I gave it a little texture here, and then I gave it a little bit of a glow. I'm really proud of that photo, actually.
That's a great photo.
And then if you take a look at the second, I really love that photo here. Just applying two different filters. I didn't put any borders on it, or I really like the way that came out.
Yeah.
And the second picture is of our buddy here, Tony, and it looks like he's actually shooting me. And I gave it, you know, there is an effect here.
The lighting effects.
Yeah, wow. The lighting effect, and I gave it kind of a blur mask. I was very impressed with this, and it's really, really easy to use, and it's free. Pixlr-O-Matic.
Did you see who developed it?
Who developed it?
Autodesk.
Oh, that's why it's so good.
The makers of AutoCAD and SketchBook Pro and like a legitimate software company.
Yeah.
Like, it must have been like some sort of skunk works. Like, hey, we just made an Android app or whatever. Like,
I feel like I've heard of this one before. Yeah, is it not on the iPhone or iOS?
It is on iOS.
Is it?
But yeah. I'm impressed. It's the same. It looks the same as it would on iOS. And mm-hmm. That's why I'm very impressed here. And it can be done. You can make pretty apps on Android. And, you know, not that it's just pretty, the UI. It's a great app for filters and photo. And
I had no idea Autodesk was doing apps. I mean, like, I knew that they had launched a AutoCAD version of AutoCAD, but like, this is completely not what I would expect from Autodesk. Like, Autodesk is like not boring, but like, you know, but they did very technical, like AutoCAD mm-hmm. and SketchBook. Oh, SketchBook is a little, you know, but fascinating. Wow. Yeah. I already downloaded it.
Yeah, it's great.
Totally.
So have fun with your pictures, and I don't know, send me some so I can see what you made.
Yeah.
Good job.
Pixlr-O-Matic.
Autodesk. Yes, Pixel, Pixlr-O-Matic, M-A-T-I-C.
You know, app. Easy.
It kind of doesn't roll off the tongue.
Maybe look
so well.
For Autodesk. Yeah. All right, let's jump into the arena.
Two enter, one lives. Android Arena.
Boom. All right. This one's looking, kind of close on the second and third. But, we, you know, from last week on episode 26, we had a grab bag, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of figured this was going to happen. Read It Later Pro wins 45% nice. Of the votes. MIUI camera comes in a close second. Between second and third, they were 1% off.
Oh,
MIUI
wow.
camera. Oh, whoa.
Now
wait a minute. They're changing.
Wow.
They're both 27%. All right, whatever.
Come in a tie.
Doesn't matter. We're nowhere close to first. So there you go. Read It Later Pro, winner of last week. Congratulations, Eileen.
Thank you.
That's
thank
okay.
you very much.
You can go ahead and notch that. We'll carve it into the table.
I get my one.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So this week, we're talking about note-taking apps. We've done task apps in the past. Note-taking apps is kind of similar. But I had a really good time with this one just because I've always just stuck to task apps. And it's actually really nice to have a full-blown notepad. I use Notepad all the time on my desktop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I never did on my Android phone. That's strange.
I don't know how you did it, because that's like we were talking about this when, we decided to do this.
Yeah.
The Notepad is the like must-have top 10 app on my phone. I need something to take notes on. I'm constantly addresses, phone numbers, quick lists, little things like that. And honestly, and I tweeted it earlier today, like take notes. Always take notes because you won't forget things. It's amazing. So,
So I can't as long as you remember to go back to those notes and read them.
Yes. Yeah. And not have too many apps where the notes are spread out
too
across.
Too many notes you have a hard time finding.
Exactly.
So we've got three options for you this week. I'll just go ahead and start with mine. As we said earlier, we were going to have the CEO of Catch on to talk about Catch Notes. I'm going to step into his shoes and hopefully...
Okay, put the CEO hat
on. I know, right? He's watching right now like, you better do it justice, Jason Hell. I don't know if he actually sounds like that. Okay, so Catch Notes. It's another one of the... it's similar to, I would guess, Evernote. I've never used Evernote, but you'll hear more about that in a little bit. In that it has a app component. It also has a web component that you can sync to, right? So you've got... Here, I'll go ahead and pull it up on my phone here. We'll stick to the... app first of all. So here's the display, the kind of landing page for Catch Notes. What I really like about this first off is just that it's very easy to just dive right in and start making notes, right? You pull this up, you have access to all of your notes if you want to get to them. But if what you really want to do is just jot down that thing really quick that you've got in your mind, you go text note and boom, it takes you right there. And you can start writing. Hello. All right, so that's not very much of a note. But it also has this kind of cool feature that if you ever add, let's go here and add a pound sign before hello, then that becomes a tag, and it automatically kind of has the tags synced to throughout the rest of your account. That becomes handy if I save that for finding notes that you know are related to each other. I really only have a few different tags in right now. As you saw earlier, I wrote my Bionic review in Catch Notes as part of my review of Catch Notes. So I've got the Bionic tag, which is tagged to my notes. And if I go into there, you see the full note. You know, I can start if I feel like it's really important. It has the last revision date up here. I also have this note shared. So you can set a note to share. Well, you can do it the typical Android way, share it through, you know, X number of services, but you can also set it to share, which if you see down here, it actually says disable sharing. Sorry, my hand was in the way. Disable sharing because I've already activated sharing. And what that allows me to do is what we saw earlier in the show where you were able to see the note online. If I enable share, I can do, you know, a couple of things. I can share it to the web or I can share it, where else? I can post it on Facebook, Twitter, do all those kind of things. And actually share the full-fledged note. So it's kind of handy that way. Let's go back to the front page here. Let's see here. There we go. So you can do text note. You can do a camera note, which is literally just kind of take a picture of something and it registers as a note. And then you can add context to that later if you want. Gallery note, which is, you know, quite literally what it sounds like. Take something from your gallery and kind of make it a note. Voice note, which begins recording right away. Like you hit voice note and boom, it's recording. I think that's great. Once you know that it does that, maybe the first time it's not because you don't expect it. But then once it is, I mean, it goes right into it and you've got your voice note. It's saved. If I go to my notes, I can see that I have this voice note played there. And
begins recording right away. Like you hit voice note.
See? Pretty handy, huh? That's me just a few seconds ago. Reminder note, which if I pull down my notification here, you'll see all about Android. Know everything about Catch. Reminder popped up at 5 o'clock, I think. So that was my reminder for this very review. So you can do all this stuff through the app, and it's very easy to get to it. And it all syncs online. So now, Chad, if you go to my laptop, I'll show you the web interface. This is the web interface. I'm logged into my account here. For instance, here's a picture update of my daughter Lucy in a cupcake outfit. It says, cupcake outfit is cute, but we should find Lucy a different outfit for Pound Halloween. So Halloween ends up becoming a tag in this case. So, you know, all of my notes are kind of extended here top to bottom, with the most recent being at the very top. You've got all your tags on the side, and you can enter a note from here as well. Now, you have 70 megabytes of storage to start off with. You can upgrade to Catch Pro. And what does Pro give you? Typed notes or voice notes up to 9,967 minutes. Oh, boy, that's a very specific number.
That's a very specific number.
Let's just say you have 1 gigabyte a month of upload if you go to Pro, and that is $5 a month or $45 a year. Mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't use that. I see myself as being a light user of this, and really probably mostly for the text note-taking. But I really enjoyed it. Lastly, I'll just go ahead and show off real quick, because they do have it. They have a pretty nifty, here, I'll put my tablet right here and launch into Catch. Hopefully it's lined up for you. They have, you know, your typical kind of tablet-optimized honeycomb app for Catch. And, you know, you can get to your tags and up there, or just all of your notes, and do all of the things that I've kind of explained up at the very top. So they've kind of covered all the bases for the most part. And I really like it. I mean, the syncing is just excellent. Seeing that I could write, especially when I'm reviewing a phone and I have the phone in my hand, and mm-hmm. immediately I think, oh man, this display is bugging me. I hop right over to Catch, add it to my note, and then hop right back to what I was doing.
Welcome to the magic of taking notes, man.
It's a whole new world.
It's not as if
I've never taken notes. I just don't do it with my phone that much. But
Do you carry a notepad like around work to meetings and things like that? Or?
I usually have a laptop. And so I open up TextEdit or whatever.
Was your desktop covered or did you run into what I run into where I'd have notepad up, and I'd have taken all my notes, and then security update comes and I reboot and I forgot to save the text file and log everything.
Yes. Okay. Which hasn't happened to me. That's reminding me to save all of my notepad.
Exactly.
But anyways, so Catch Notes. You can find it in the Android market. It is free. And I really, really liked it, and I will continue using it.
So impressive. That's
fine. They have other applications, and I guess, you know, with like Compass and other stuff, and then all kind of integrates
with Catch,
mm-hmm. which is key if you want to get into their ecosystem and keep using only their apps. And they were actually featured at Google I.O. too.
Mm-hmm. That's how we kind of discovered it and met the CEO. And a bunch of other apps that tie directly in so that they can actually reach into Catch and make notes for you mm-hmm. dependent on that app's kind of purpose. So,
yeah, which is cool. Very cool. All right, I guess I'm up next, and I'm going to talk about SpringPad, which has been out for a while and kind of came into the market as sort of a real competitor for Evernote. But they've kind of taken a step back because I talked to the CEO of SpringPad, and he, you know, was telling me that they are more of a personal assistant. I mean, they're a note-taking app, but they want to kind of gear themselves a little bit differently than Evernote and say that they are a personal assistant. So what does that mean? Okay, well, first of all, on my phone, it's free, by the way. They say it's always going to be free. There are some ads on the web interface, like Catch does. I'm not going to show it, but there mm-hmm. is also a web interface with the app, and they have some ads on there. But that's about it. You don't see the ads on the app itself. Okay, so what I've got here on my screen, I've got the widget. This is a medium widget, and then you can add from here. You can add notes here. Whoops. You could take photos, even record audio. Now it's a little bit different here. It doesn't start recording as immediately as yours. You have to hit that one more time, another button that says immediate. Then you could do a barcode scan. You can also find stuff via your location. I'm just going to launch the app itself. And when you open it up, you can when you first start, you're not going to have as many items as I have on the screen. Right now, I have a bunch of notebooks that are categorized, and within those notebooks, I have things like for Thanksgiving. This is actually from Thanksgiving a long time ago. I had a grocery list from last year, and I still have that there because you know what? Thanksgiving's not going to change. I'm going to need the same stuff.
Right around the corner.
And I've already got loaded my Xmas gifts and another podcast I do, some stuff. But what I generally do is I go straight into my stuff. So you're going to have, when you create a SpringPad account, you have my stuff, you'll have your stuff, and everything is here. And you can add many different types of notes. You can add just a general note, you can add a task, you could look up what you're looking for, you can add by type, you can add a media, you can add you can scan the barcode, mm-hmm. like I mentioned earlier. And by type, what I mean is you can add even more specifically a task, a business, a restaurant, wine, a product, a book, a movie, a TV show, all of this kind of stuff. Now, what's interesting is, okay, let me go into restaurant here. I want to find a restaurant in my location because we're going out to dinner tonight after the show. And I was looking. Let's see. There was a particular restaurant. Oh, right. Cucina Paradiso that I was really interested in. When you add that, you can add it to your list, and then they'll even give you the Yelp information, and then you can add tags to it. So say you save it, I'm just going to give it a food tag, which is nice. I like adding tags so I can kind of find it on the fly. You can select a notebook to put it in if you already have a notebook. I don't have a dinner notebook, but let me put it under Thanksgiving. I don't know why I'd do that, but I could put it in a notebook and I could just add it to my entire system. And that's what I'm doing right now. For TV shows and movies, a lot of times you'll find if you add a note like that, and I'm showing you all of these situations because it does more than just dump your notes in. It does more than just your thoughts. You can do that as well. You could just say, don't forget, or here's the passcode to this. I don't know, why you'd want to do that. So I'm going to add another type. I'm going to add a TV show. What TV show should we look for, Ron?
Pan Am.
Okay, I'm going to search for Pan Am. It searches for you, and I'm filtering by TV show. Come on. Oh, it didn't find it.
Wow.
Did I spell it wrong?
Yeah, it did. All right, search for Boardwalk Empire.
Okay. Boardwalk.
Oops, misspelled.
Did I spell it wrong?
Yeah.
Then you gotta spell it right. Boardwalk Empire. There we go. I don't know why I didn't do the
Pan Am's
swipe
too
thing.
New.
Is Pan Am too new?
Oh, even Boardwalk Empire.
Okay, well, maybe this is having a hard time finding stuff there. Huh? Oh, my votes are going down. Well, let's see if I can find a TV show.
They're going down as we speak.
They're going down as we speak. I think I've saved a movie here before. Let's see. Maybe I haven't. Look at all my notes. Okay, yeah. I saved Doc Martin here. I think you told me. Did you tell me about Doc Martin? Somebody told me about Doc Martin. Then they give you a Netflix source. They give you links on Amazon. They give you links on Rotten Tomato. I guess you can record your own notes. You can add more notes to it. It's kind of a full service thing, and I know that you'll have the same thing in just a minute, Ron. Yep. But here you can just add a simple note if you want. It does a lot of things, and you could get kind of lost in it. But if you're really super into organization, this might come in handy as well. Friend stuff, you could friend other SpringPad people. My only friend on SpringPad is the SpringPad people, and so eventually you find what they like. They like Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam 20.
I heard it was good. Yeah, it was Cameron Crowe documentary. Yeah, I heard it was good.
So you could see what they like if you have other friends on SpringPad as well. So that's just a short. I mean, this thing is full featured. There's so many more things that I could talk about, but that would take me all day. What I usually do use it for are quick notes, restaurant recommendations. This book here, The Passage, I want to read it. So I found it. I did a quick search, and now I know I have a link to Amazon, and it's $14.95 or $14.79 for the hardcover. I could go straight to it from the app. So that is SpringPad in a nutshell. I hope I did it justice. I mean, there's so much more that it can do, but full-featured note-taking app, and it's free and will always be free from what I understand.
Cool. That's interesting. I remember when SpringPad first came out, I downloaded it, just never used it because I already had a solution.
You already had one, yeah.
Yeah, but it's neat. I like how they differentiate themselves because it seems as if now this week is my game to lose.
It kind of is.
Yeah. So now the interesting thing is I actually use two notepad apps. The one I use is called AK Notepad, which is actually by Catch.
Yeah, it's released by Catch.
Which is just a local, quick and dirty take
to your SD card.
Yeah, local, whatever. But the real notepad app that I use that is the power app is Evernote, which seems to be the application that Catch and Springboard, to a certain degree, are trying to catch up with. Evernote has been around for a while. They originally launched as a web application. And one of the great things about Evernote is that they have now they've got a web application. They have iPhone, Android versions. They have iPad, iPad versions, and it all syncs and totally free. You can sign up. You do get a limited account when you sign up, and you can upgrade to premium to pay for it. But I would consider myself a power user, and you know how much notes I take. I'm not a premium user. I don't pay for it. Everything's totally free. You get unlimited number of notes, but with a upload limit of about 60 meg per month of your notes. I've never run into it. You can add any file up to it. If you need to attach files to notes, that's where they start to get you. You can only do a 25 megabyte maximum of files per notes, but I don't really use that as much. Also, they've got a whole bunch of other things. If you go to Evernote's website, you see the difference between premium and the free thing. But let's take a look at the app. And I'm using it here on the Droid 3, so hopefully we can see it. There you go. All right. So if you launch the app, very similar to Catch's interface, in that you basically right out of the gate ask you either to start a new note, or you can take a photo, take a snapshot, or you can access your other notes or your tags. You can collect notes together and put them in notebooks. Very easy to kind of add collections. You can search by tags. They really make it easy for you to find your notes once you do it, because any application that uses, once you're uploading to the cloud, the challenge is finding them once you do that. So in this particular case, I'm just going to add a new note. And what's really interesting is how I really like the changes they've recently made to their interface. Now, in addition, above the keyboard, you get this kind of toolbar line, and this gives you everything that you need.
That's
so
new.
Yeah, so not only do you get things like where you can select what notebook you want to put it into, right? Or you can add tags very easily. You can also, I want to get it back up here, attach files. So if you've taken a picture and it's in your gallery, you can attach a picture. You can attach pre-existing recorded audio, video, or any sort of file. Mm-hmm. So let's say you send me a document and I want to attach my note to it. It's very easy to do that. You can take a picture straight from the application. And that's really cool. When they added that, I remember that was mind-blowing, because it's like, I want to get this stereo component. Just take a picture of it. And then, and then now I can go find it. They've also, for those who might know, they've also integrated with Sketch, which is a which is like a handwriting kind of sketching kind of application. So what you can do now is you can download Sketch for Android, and if you click this takes you over to the marketplace to download Sketch and install it. But you can integrate Sketch in with Evernote, so you can use a stylus or use your finger and do handwriting, which is really cool. They've got voice recording. Unlike Catch, you actually have to enable it. And once you enable it, it's actually pretty good. You can see here on the left side, it's recording. You can see the green light where it's recording. It's kind of hard to see, but there's a little counter of how long it's going for. And you just tap it again to stop it, and it'll add that audio to it. And so you can. So there you go. And then what's even neater is that they've also now enabled formatting. So you've got bold, italic, underline. You've also got the ability, which I love because I'm a list maker, to add checkboxes.
Very cool.
Yeah, so item and item. So that's the kind of the entry screen, right? And then what happens is that when you save it, what's cool is that then – I'm not going to save this one. So it goes to the cloud. It goes to Evernote, and you can access all your notes. And here they organize them chronologically by the last time that you edited them. So you can take a seat. You can open up a note. What I like about it, which is a little subtle difference from the other notepads, is that this is a view mode. So when I open up a note, I'm not instantly editing it. Mm-hmm. Which sometimes you don't want to make changes because there are other notepad apps where I had a note in there, and then I put it in my pocket. I was at Comic Con. I put it, and then I left my phone on, and a whole bunch of garbage had loaded into it or whatever, you know, because I didn't realize that I was in the application for whatever reason. So there's a level of protection there to keep your content kind of safe. But then what's great is that you can then go back out, and they've got these great widgets. So on the similar to the widget with SpringPad, so on your phone you can get instant access to just start a new note, take a picture, do a quick voice recorder, start drawing with Sketch. They've really integrated Sketch really well with this latest version with an Evernote. They have a slightly bigger widget, which I kind of like because it shows my three latest
last few. Thing.
Yeah, so I'm like, all right, my to-do list. Let me go see what I need to do. Okay, I need to do this. I need to do this, you know. So,
that widget's nice.
Yeah, it's like very nice. So Evernote's got a lot of funding. It's a real successful application. I swear by the OS X app that I bought from the Mac App Store to run on my laptop. Syncs everything up. It's kind of funny because I do a lot of video editing and I use Premiere. Don't laugh, but I use Premiere, and when I'm doing, I need to watch the whole episode and take notes on what graphics I need. Mm-hmm. And so what I actually, and in Premiere, if you use any other apps, it stops playback. Mm-hmm. So basically my laptop then becomes just a deck.
Right.
And I actually use my phone. I sit there and I take notes on the phone, and then I hop over to the OS X app, and that whole list of what I need and my research is there.
It's already synced.
Yeah. It's just great. When we talk about saving data to the cloud, I know Google's kind of, Evernote is the first application where I really embraced the cloud and really saw the benefit of it, because saving all my notes up to there, I can share them. One of my coworkers went to a conference. It took copious notes of the speakers and then shared that notebook with me, and I was like, I was at the conference. I got all the information. I utilize it a lot for my business, just in terms of taking down information, taking notes during meetings, sharing it. Here are the action items, all that sort of stuff. You can post to Facebook. You can email. I mean, they got it right.
They got it right.
So that's why I'm kind of like, this is my game to lose, because so many people are using Evernote.
They've
been around for a while. Mm-hmm. If you get really deeper into Evernote, there's a whole another layer of, they've got apps. They've got this thing called the trunk, where you other kind of plugins that work into it. It's a whole infrastructure in and above itself, but it's a great application. They do a great job. So so vote for me.
Nice. This is the one to lose. So I would be shocked.
I'll be honest. I mean, as an Evernote user, Ketch and SpringPad were both. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So. The thing that Evernote has is Evernote has been around longest.
Yeah.
They have that
brand
affinity.
A little bit more of that mind share.
Exactly.
And Evernote themselves, they're adding their own app store. They have the trunk.
Yep.
It's the, elephant trunk.
And
if you've got a trunk, you're going to win.
Right.
I mean, let's just be honest.
But the funny thing is that, and they've kept the app functional and specific to what it does. The trunk stuff, I haven't installed any of it. I haven't played with any of it because I don't need it. I just got
what
I need. So they're not messing with it. The one thing as a byproduct of not being a paid customer is that at least on the desktop app, there's some advertising, but I'm fine with that. No advertising on the app, none on the app. So it's great. And that interface, the updates they've made to the interface have made it a lot better. So,
that is nice. Great update.
All right. Well, you can confirm or disprove our theory that Evernote will win by going to bit.ly/AAApoll27. bit.ly/AAApoll27, where I believe, I opened this up at the beginning of the show, and there were already a couple of votes, and they were both for Evernote. So there you go. Somebody figured out my little naming scheme, and they had already put their votes in.
How did they figure it out?
I don't know. It's not like it's very similar week to week. So anyways, check it out.
Look at the votes go for Evernote. Look at her run.
It's on its way.
Yeah. There we go. I mean, it's not fair. The fact that Evernote, these are all free apps, but like I said, Evernote has that presence. And
There have been other weeks where we've had the obvious choice.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and I knew you were the Evernote power user, so I wasn't going to go like, oh, I want Evernote just to win.
Yeah, no, I mean, Evernote is one of those apps I can't live without. And I'm very big on GTD and getting things done.
Right.
And data capture is a huge part of it. And when we were talking about, and Jason, you weren't saying you use a notepad app. Remember, I was like, you don't use a notepad app. Well, you need one.
Yeah. So,
I know. Well, I will definitely be using one. I might check out Evernote just because... its feature set and see what I think. But I really like Catch.
So. I'm not up on a pedestal. I do have text files open on my desktop as well. So like it's hard to shake that habit. But yeah. You know.
Okay. Well, again, that's bit.ly/AAApoll27 if you want to go vote and check it out. And we'll read the winners next week. Next week we'll be doing another grab bag episode. Might as well just kind of keep it random and see what we come up with. I like those. Yeah. I like doing more of those because
game for next week. I haven't done one
because then we go digging and we're like, what can I
what
come
gems can
with?
We find?
Yep.
Instead of comparing similar apps,
I like how it's a positive thing. It's like it's not necessarily because a lot of times we're reviewing, you're trying to bash it down and why you don't use it and things like that. But we're like, no, I recommend this application.
So, exactly.
Yeah, we should be covering apps that we truly recommend. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's it.
That's
We've hit the end of the episode.
We can't go for another hour. This is like this extended edition of all that. This is a director's
call. No, we've already gone about 15 minutes more than I thought we were going to.
We're going to dinner.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to go to dinner. We're going to talk Android. But before we do, Ron, go ahead and pimp.
Yes, pimp away. So you can find me at about.me/RonXO or Twitter on twitter.com/RonXO. You can find all the stuff I do, links to my Facebook, my Google+, all that stuff there, as well as check out ifanboy.com and graphly.com, my day jobs. If you like comics and applications and things like that, we've got everything you need.
Radical. And Eileen.
You can find me on Twitter at EileenTV on Google+. Do my search, and I forget again. What is it?
It's gplus.2/EileenTV. How hard is that to
remember? I don't remember. I have a mental block on how to promote my
and you'll love Google+. You love Google Plus. You're like all about it, and you can't tell people how to find you there. Why don't they have a shortener, by the way? Or
that would be nice.
Or the vanity URLs. I feel
they should have it already, but they don't. That's why we're having such problems with this. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at @raygun01. You can also find me on Google Plus. Just search for Jason Allen. I'm probably there somewhere. But that's it for this show. Leave us a voicemail 347-SHOW-AAA. Keep it short, please, because we get a lot of voicemails, but they're really, really long. So keep it short, 30 seconds ish. Email AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on the Twit site, twit.tv/AAA for the show notes. Hit us up on Twitter at @AndroidShow. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday from 5 to 7-ish p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. Got to get honest here. Yeah. All right, we'll see y'all next week for another episode of All About Android.